ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Blog Talk Radio.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and happy St. Patrick's Day to one and all. If it's Friday night, you know where we are. We're on Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and of course that was a piece of shameless promotion. That was my historical fiction, The Mad Hatter, set in 1888 in Whitechapel, England. The gentleman that did that ad for me, his name is Christopher Dunham. And if you were looking for someone to do an ad for you, whether it's for books, music, art, business, whatever, contact him. He's on my Facebook. He also has a show himself on Friday night called Friday Night Freak Show. So hop over there and listen to it. The man's absolutely amazing. This has been a very, very interesting week on so many levels. Things are just going insane. Just I can't explain how insane things are going. We're well over 11,000 listeners for this show, and of course it's heard all over the world. It's heard in Canada and Germany and Korea, Egypt, Ecuador, the UK, the Russian Federation, the USA, Indonesia, Singapore, Australia, who are our biggest fans, Ireland, Croatia, Tunisia, New Zealand, Taiwan, Brazil, Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Portugal, Hungary, Bulgaria, Norway, the Ukraine, Vietnam, Finland, Sweden, and we've added Peru, we've added the Philippines, we've added France, Argentina, Mexico, and of course Croatia. And then this morning we also added, are you ready for this, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you get almost, I think it's 40 countries I counted, and I counted it out earlier in the day, 40 countries are listening to this show, what does that tell you? We have a reach that is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I am so proud of this show, and it has to do with the guests that I have on the show, because without them, I could sit here and talk all night and probably wouldn't produce any results. But before I introduce my guest, I want to do a little bit more self-promoting. On Vida.com, it's capital V, capital I, capital D, capital A.com, under my married name, Yvonne Sewell, you will find different products. You'll find pillows, shawls, wraps, totes, statement bags, and different kinds of women's tops. On that product are my photographs. They take my photographs and build them into that product. It's my design collection. Check it out, because I found out quite by accident that the product itself, the top, the pillow, the statement bag, the tote, the wrap, the shawl, is made in different countries, and then it's brought to America, and they do the design work once they get the product. The beautiful part is the person that is making that product, Vida is teaching them how to read. Now, we're talking about countries that are underdeveloped. And the adults that are working for Vida as independent contractors get the opportunity to learn how to read through Vita. Well, that made me even want to support this company even more because I believe everyone should have the opportunity to be able to read. So let's support these men and women that are making products for pennies on the dollar, I'm sure, but they're learning to read, which is priceless. Also, you can go on viewbug.com, which is my photography site, and if you so desire, purchase my photographs on canvas and hang them up in your home, and that's under Yvonne Mason. I keep my clothing line separate from my radio show and my photography and my books. It's just who I am. So since I did all that shameless promotion, tonight's show, I cannot wait to get started because it is a return guest. Author Julie Morgan is with me again, and she is originally from Burlington, Texas, and she's always had a love for books, and especially paranormals, and she decided that instead of just reading, she would start writing, and has done very well. She's worked in IT her entire career, so now she spends all of her free time writing, and she not only jumped into the writing field, but she left the big state of Texas and joined us in this grand state of Florida. She lives in Central Florida with her husband and her beautiful, beautiful, beautiful daughter. Her favorite time is reading children's books to that young lady, and especially those that have to do with animals because her daughter loves animals. Julie, thank you, my dear. I know that you're standing outside a hotel room getting ready to take a trip, and I so, so thank you for spending an hour with me tonight.
Oh, Yvonne, no problem. I enjoy being here.
Well, I get that from guests. I said, when can I come back? And I'm thinking, I didn't know this show was that special, but I thank you for it being that special because it's because of all of y'all that, gracious, 40 countries and 11,000 listeners, and we're growing by leaps and bounds, and it's all because of y'all. People want to hear from y'all.
Well, that's why we're here.
So, your short history, you lived in Burlington, you worked in IT, you left Burlington, moved to Florida, probably still work in IT, and now you write books, and you've written some pretty good books. But before we get into your books, you have a passion. And as we were talking before the show, I was telling you how the show that I had with you just blew up on all the podcasts and on the show itself. And I don't know if it was because we talked about your books, which I'm sure it was, but it was also your passion. And on April the 2nd, it is World Autism Awareness Day. And explain a little bit about World Autism Awareness Day, and then we'll talk about why.
So with World Autism Awareness Day, it's taking a moment to reflect, appreciate, understand, learn, develop everything that you can about autism and all the different spectrums that are out there, and understanding that there is no one case that is like another. Some of the diagnosis can be the same, but the person who received the diagnosis, there is no one case that's identical. Everybody's different. And with the whole thing of, you know, find a cure, we absolutely do want to find a cure. We absolutely, without a doubt, want to find a cure. But it's almost like chasing a moving target. How do you find a cure for something that is so different? You know, there's different levels of autism and different reasons for autism. Like with my daughter, it's a chromosome gene duplication. Or with somebody else, it could be a malfunction in their brain. It could be because it's brought on by Down syndrome. It could be because of any number of reasons. There is any reason that could have caused it. And some people think that it's the food in their environment. Sorry, there's a plane going over my head right now. It's a little loud. But some people think it's the food in the environment. Some people think that it might be toxins in the air, as hormones that are injected in the food. You know, there's any number of reasons why something could happen. And people have different beliefs and different things that they want to look into and what they want to believe. But end of the day, there are tests. There's blood tests. There's amazing doctors out there. We are fortunate to find one. And you have to take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and not live in denial that there might be something wrong with your child. That is the hardest thing to ever have to admit, is that something might be wrong. Because no matter what she's going through, I can't take that away from her. I want to protect her from all the evil in the world, but I cannot protect her from this. And that was the hardest thing for me to let go, that I can't fix her.
And not only can you not protect her, but it wasn't anything that you did or did not do, or your husband did or did
right.
not do. It was just, it just is. It's that.
It just is.
It's that hand that one is dealt, and the way that one approaches a difference or a uniqueness, it affects the outcome.
Right.
And in an example is when my mother found out that my brother was retarded due to encephalitis, and the doctors told her just throw him in a back room or throw him in an institution somewhere and just go and have another baby, like go and get another puppy and forget about him. Of course, this was in the 50s, but we haven't come that much further as it is, and just go toss him somewhere and forget about him because he's not worth anything. My mother did what you did. My mother said, no, we will work with what we've got and we will take him as far as he will go, not as far as you think he will go, but as far
right.
as he is
right.
willing to go. And we tend to put children who are unique, and I believe that God blesses those that he knows can handle the uniqueness of children, because not everybody has the ability to be understanding, be patient, be kind, and be forward-minded enough to unlock the mysteries of a unique child, and there are mysteries there. We just have to be open-minded. But like
right, you're absolutely right.
Like what you did, mother went and said, and there were no resources. Thankfully, you're blessed with resources. She was, so she figured it out. And because of it, he taught me more than I could ever teach him. And with your daughter, who, if I could just wrap my arms around her and give her a big fat sloppy hug and a kiss, it would make my life. I could die happy. Because she is a marvelous,
she
marvelous.
Me, let you.
She's a marvelous creature. And there's so many things in her little mind that will eventually come out. And just like before the show, we were talking about Temple Grandin. Tell the audience
yeah.
about Temple Grandin.
So Temple Grandin, if you're not familiar, she also had autism and is still alive, also has autism, and studied cows and studied the way they walked, the way they herded, and just the way that they progressed together. And basically, for a lack of better terms, recreated their turnout pen, or where they go to feed, where they go to get, you know, worked out or milked, or, you know, whatever the reason is of what they're doing in their turnout. And she had studied this for a long time and basically recreated it almost like a map for how the cows should be structured. And somebody finally listened to her and did it, and it was a huge success. And she's basically built herself off of that. And it was amazing just watching how she did this. And it was just taking a simple subject and watching it through and understanding it. It's like looking at a like silly string. You spray the silly string on the wall, and to us it just looks like a mess. But to somebody like her, somebody like my daughter would look at it and she would see patterns. She would see
right.
pictures. And that's exactly what she did. And it's just, it's made the community with the farmers just that much more. I mean, it was amazing what she did.
And she did it simply by focusing on something that was of interest to her. And I think sometimes as society we fail, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't call them challenged, I don't call them handicapped, because these children are absolutely God's blessings. They are so unique because just like Temple did, she focused on the habits of cows and figured out what it took to make those cows more productive. Now, if it had been me, I'd have just said, yeah, oh, that's a nice cow. Oh, really? And gone on. But it was important to her, and it interested her. And because of her, now we have more productive cows, more productive milk, yada, 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 yada. So when we discount someone just because they're different, oh, do we ever cheat ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with my daughter, up until we had her diagnosed, she was almost, I think she was right at 4 years old when we had her diagnosed, maybe just shy of that, but she used to not be able to listen to music. We could not clap our hands or say, yay. We could not sing her happy birthday. Music, lights, sound, everything was an overstimulation. And when we go to a restaurant to go eat, we would tell the hostess and our waiter, please do not satisfy a party that's having a birthday celebration. And if there's one that might erupt, you have to let us know so we can get her out of here. You do not want to see what's going to erupt out of this child. And there's been a couple of times that they forgot to say something, and here they come with their clapping and hooping and hollering, and my daughter just, would melt down, you know, and I'd have to, you know, snatch her up and run outside. So, I mean, not that to disturb everybody around us, but to get her out of the environment, to get her out of the situation so she would calm down.
Because
here we are. She's 9 years. Well, she's 9.5 years old now, and she's been on. She's been diagnosed for 5 years now, 5.5 years, and she now will sing. She's in an after-school care that does dance. She did her first solo dance routine for the Christmas special.
Whoa.
I never, ever thought she would ever do something like that. She smiled. She had a great time. People clapped for her, and she was like, yay me! 5 years ago, that would not happen. She would run off the stage and just, no.
And you know she's got to be proud of herself because she doesn't want to, and it's not misbehaving, it's a sensory overload that she cannot handle. And she
That's
doesn't
correct.
Want to be in that sensory overload. She wants to be able to participate. And for her to be able to come that far in 5 years, like I said, if I had her in front of her, I'd just give her a big old sloppy kiss and just hug her tight.
Well, with my daughter, her diagnosis is called 17th chromosome duplication, or the short name 17q12. And when the doctor initially started testing her, they wanted to do an EEG, which is like an EKG on your heart, but it's on your head. And it was an hour-long test. They did it. We came back for the results, and they told us she had epilepsy. And I just shut down. My husband, thank God he was there. He listened to the whole thing because I really shut down. I just didn't hear anything else after that. And the doctor recommended starting an anti-seizure medicine because of where her levels were. At any moment, she could have had a grand mal seizure.
Right.
And that's never happened, thank God. But, however, the epilepsy mass sits on the frontal left lobe of her brain, and it's still there. But the anti-seizure medicine controls it. I can't really describe how it controls it, just controls it. But where the mass is, it sits over the speech and cognitive development. My daughter did not really talk until she was almost 4 years old. She could say words. You know, she had learned responses. But everything she said was a memorization. She would watch a movie with a narration turned on. For those that may be blind, they have a narration turned on to tell you what's happening when people aren't speaking. So she would turn this on and listen to it 2 or 3 times. She would have it memorized and play it back without the narration on, and she would become a narrator clear as day, very crisp, and talk as a narrator. It was amazing listening to her. If you ask her a question, it was the same answer all the time. It was just a learned response. What do you want for dinner? Chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. Or what did you do at school today? Watch the movie, played on the swing. That is all she would ever say. Now we actually have conversations with each other. We're able to talk. And she still does the arm flapping. She gets excited over a subject, and that's all she wants to talk about, and I'm okay with that. She does it in front of other people, and they try to change the subject. She's like, no, this is what we're talking about. You know, and they're good with her on that. She is one of the nicest, sweetest kids you'll ever meet. And I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter. She really is. She loves people. She loves talking to people. She will talk to anybody. If you wear a name badge, she'll call you by your first name. And she's always, please, thank you, you're welcome. Always.
And the funniest thing
that happened one day, we had gone to Walmart. Somebody in the garden area, we were walking through the parking lot to walk in, and someone in the garden area sneezed really loud. And my daughter yelled, bless you. And the guy yelled back, thank you. And she yelled back, you're welcome. And I was just laughing at it because it was so funny.
Well, talking about the epilepsy, overstimulation will cause a seizure because what happens, the electrical, you know, the brain's full of electrical impulses. That's how we do things. We reach for things. We hear things. We say things. And when her brain gets overstimulated, it's probably painful inside
her
head.
I'm sure it is. I have no idea how she feels these things, you know. But we've actually learned to recognize when she has a subclinical seizure, is a seizure of the brain. It's similar to staring off in space. You're kind of daydreaming. But you can't snap her out of it. You just have to wait for it to pass. And when it does, she just comes back like, da-da-da-da, like nothing happened. You know, and that's something I recognized a while back and just, you know, let it go, let it pass, and she picks back up with where she was. I think maybe when she gets older, she might recognize a time lapse, but it lasts no longer than maybe 10, 15 seconds, if that. But, you know.
And who knows, Julie? She might have gone off into her own little reality and inventing or finding a cure for autism or grandma's seizures. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Anything's possible, and all is highly probable. And that's why I say when we discount people who are unique, we sure do cheat ourselves in ways that are just unfathomable. And it's because we as, quote, unquote, normal people don't have time for them because they require energy. Well, I've known some, quote, unquote, normal people that required a lot of energy. But you
yeah.
don't discount them.
And sometimes they suck your energy.
Exactly. And she has so much to give. I just, one day I hope I get to meet her because I am so proud of her and where she has come to be able to get in front of an audience full of people, for one thing, to do a dance routine, which is difficult enough for, quote, unquote, a normal person, and then to stand there and it be a solo, which is scary enough, and then to accept the applause of the audience without shrieking in pain is just out of this world.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And her dance studio, oh, my gosh, I can't say enough good things about them. They are so wonderful with her. They don't treat her differently. They treat her like everybody else. But with the dances that they do for her, like a solo or something, they do it within the level that she's capable of doing, but push it just slightly to get her to the next level. And if they recognize that she doesn't want to do her solo, if she's just not in that moment, they don't make her do it. They pull it from the schedule and put the next group on. They don't ever force her into doing it. They're amazing people. I love them.
Well,
we are so fortunate
that
we found them.
And they probably understand that at some point she'll be able to do it. But if they make her do it now, they're going to destroy that building block that they've put in place. Yeah, you need to hold on to them like gold.
Definitely. They're like golden people, you know. I mean, they're amazing people.
And they probably helped her tremendously, not only with her self-confidence, but her ability to deal with the real world on a day-to-day level.
Right. Oh, I'll tell you this. Her PE classes, she used to fail PE, because to tell somebody to do a jumping jack and they don't understand what that means, they'll stand there. You can't even show them what a jumping jack is, and it just, there's something in her brain that didn't compute it. She started dancing. Her grade in physical education went up to an A. Because she's starting to understand and learn. Yeah. It happened. It takes about a year, but it wasn't overnight. But she's now, Speaking of grades, we actually had her moved to a special needs school. She was struggling with public school, with public education, and we got her enrolled in a special needs school, and she went from almost failing to all A's. So it was finding the right people with the right type of environment that can understand what she needs. And the people at her public school, they were great. Don't get me wrong. They were fantastic people. Did not have enough staff to do more one-on-one with her. We're at her new school. Oh, gosh, it's been amazing over there. And she loves the school. And she loves her teachers.
Well,
so it's been great.
It also, sadly, public school did our unique children a disservice when they mainstreamed them into classrooms where they really didn't have any business.
Right.
What they have done is they have retarded their learning even more than if they had left them in a special needs class, because a special needs class, like you say, brings them along at the rate of that they are capable of going, and then just pushes them just a little bit more so as not to destroy their self-confidence, but to help lift them up and show them that they can indeed move on. And if they take a step back,
just,
that's okay.
Just like her dance studio. It's just like her dance studio. Just being patient and understanding what she needs to learn and how she needs to learn it. So
she can learn it, that she's not stupid, not by far. Your daughter is highly intellectual and highly intelligent. I bet if they did a IQ test on her, she'd blow it off the map, and then they'd all walk around going, scratching their head, how did this happen? But we know Einstein had autism. He also had ADHD, which is a form of autism.
Yeah.
And look at him. The man was a genius.
Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy, you know?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, when you get off with me tonight, give her a big old fat sloppy kiss and a big old fat hug from her adopted aunt Yvonne, because I just pray for her every night that she will continue
to
be successful. You are welcome. Because, you know, unique children are special to me. I have a soft spot in my heart for them because they have their place. There's a reason God put them here. It wasn't to take up space.
Right. She definitely has taught me more about myself and patience and understanding than anybody or anyone else ever could.
And tolerance. You know, we talk about tolerance. We talk about acceptance. We give lip service to all four of those things, patience, understanding, tolerance.
Well, she actually just came outside, Yvonne, if you'd like to say hi.
Oh, I would.
Come here, honey. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
Hey, hi, Miss Yvonne. Hi, Miss Yvonne.
Hello, how are you? Your mommy has been telling me good things about you, and I wanted to let you know how proud I am of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You keep shining like a bright star, sweetheart, because you're going places.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay.
I'll be back in a minute. I'll be up in a minute.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah, you're welcome. John.
That made my night. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'll be just a minute, baby. Go ahead.
That's okay. If you've never had the privilege of being introduced to or know a child that is unique, you have a hole in your heart that is the only thing that will fill it. I'm standing here squalling like a baby. And I don't cry, but I am sitting here with tears running down my face because I am so proud of her.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And just give her a big old fat hug. But let's talk about, in the time we have remaining, let's talk about Julie. What has Julie been up to? What's Julie going to be up to, and how soon is Julie going to have new books out?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a little busy. So, this week, the 14th, the 14th, a box set that I'm a part of published called Magic Awakened, And there's 12 of us authors that are in it. And my story is called The Power Here. And it's the sequel to Symphony of Night, and which is a spinoff of my Chronicles of the Fallen series, my very first series. And in The Power Here, one of the characters from the first book comes back, gets his story told with two new characters. And it's a little bit on the swanky side, so it's a lot of fun. And there's some humor written into it. It's two men and a woman that are in a triad. You know, they both love the same woman equally, and she loves both of them. There's no fight for who she wants to go with. They're a threesome that live together. They do their thing together. And it's a beautiful relationship that they have. And they go through hell and back trying to save themselves. One of them's a demon. One is a werepanther, and the other one's a banshee. So imagine that type of trio together.
Oh, my. And all should be natural enemies.
Right. They should be, and they're not. And it's a fun story. You know, it's really a fun story. The other one that I have coming out soon, hopefully in June, will be Dark Alchemy. It's the third book in my alchemy series. The first book was Deadly Alchemy. The second one was Fatal Intentions, and the third one is Dark Alchemy. Now, my publisher that I recently signed with, Captive Quill, bought the rights to Deadly Alchemy in my series. So they took that, and they took Fatal Intentions, and they took the story, did some new edits on it, gave it a brand new cover, and republished it for me. So
wow.
Next week on the 21st, Fatal Alchemy, which used to be Fatal Intentions, is going to republish with a new cover. And if you look on Facebook, I actually posted the pictures today. So, I mean, they're beautiful pictures.
Yes, they are. I saw them. My drool.
So,
because they just
pop
out.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I want to lick the page. It's so beautiful. Look
no,
at his
no.
mind.
Julie,
you know, so.
Julie, they'll put you away for that, honey. They will come and get you.
I know. I was like, I'm cleaning my phone. Don't judge me. Also on Tuesday, I have a short story that's publishing called Playing Her Body. And this story is the sixth book in the Southern Roots series. So switching from paranormal to contemporary romance here. If the readers out there have read my Southern Roots series, they met Jordan in book two in City Lights. Jordan is the keyboard player that's in the band Deep Ember with Blaine and Matt and another guy named Scott. So Jordan gets his story told with a new girl named Natalie, and this girl is a pistol. She is so funny. There is so much of me in her character.
Oh, my goodness.
She is just hilarious, some of the things that she does. It made me laugh rereading it when I was going through and doing edits. It just made me laugh. And I had, you know, some authors read it before it was published, just to kind of give some constructive feedback and, you know, to do review-type things, and they all loved it, said it was great, said it was funny. So it's a good time. You know, it's a good story. And there's a little bit of, you know, drama in it. Excuse me, a little bit of drama just to kind of push the story forward. But it's more like a misunderstanding-type drama, kind of like, stop being such a bitch. You know, him, not her. So, for lack of better terms. But, you know, it's a fun story. That's also coming out Tuesday.
Well, you've just been a busy, busy girl. How do you have – now it's time to take a moment and then recharge your batteries and then come back and start all over again. What are you planning? I mean, good gracious. You're on a roll, child.
Oh, God. Well, other than Dark Alchemy, I'm also planning the next two books in my Special Ops series. So Ranger and Seal need to be written. I have the outline done for Ranger. It's just getting myself ready to write his story. And Seal will be the last one. And after that, there's another story. There's two more. My mind is so busy, but there's two more. There's another box set that's coming out April 18th called Sultry and Sinful. And this box set came together because of a question that I posed on Facebook. What is everybody's favorite type of matchup? Like male-female, male-male, female-female, male-male-female? You know, just tell me what you like to read. Seldom did anybody put female-female. And I was really curious about that. does nobody like reading these? And most of the answers I got, it's not that we don't like reading it. It's not out there. There's
right.
a lot of male-male stories, but there's not female lesbian stories. And I said, huh, we need to change that. So a group of us got together. There's 10 of us. We decided we're going to write brand new stories, and we're going to publish it as a box set. So April 18th, Sultry and Simple is coming out, and every one of them is a female-female story. There might be some men mixed in there, you know, like with mine. There's my girl is a succubus, so she obviously has to have a man to feed off of. But
right.
other than that, you know, he's like a side guy. You know, other than that, it's a female-female story. And mine is an angel and demon story. And it's, you know, the angel falling in love and becoming a fallen for the woman she's fallen in love with. So it's a great read. It's a lot. It's a little on the darker side, but it's a lot of fun. And the, excuse me, the other story I'm co-writing with somebody, her name is Kate Reynolds, who's absolutely amazing. She's the author with me over at Captive Quill. And her and I are co-authoring a story called Blood Fortune, which we're turning into a series. And imagine like 1750 Venice. That's where our story is set place. And it's paranormal. So it's think of like Dracula meets Casanova.
Ooh.
And it's fascinating what we've come up with. And it's coming out. I'm sorry, there's an airplane going over. It's coming out in May. And it's coming out in a box set called Haunted by Magic. And once the box set comes out, Kate and I will be publishing it as our first book in that series as a standalone with Captive Quill. So we're pretty
nice.
Excited about it, you know.
What made you go into the Dracula realm?
I've always loved paranormal. And my first love was Dracula when I was a young girl. Always thought vampires. And when I was preteen, 10 to 12 years old, my favorite movie was Lost Boys. I mean,
Keith Sutherland. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Too.
But, I mean, Bram Stoker's Dracula, I fell in love with the darkness of that. And I love anything paranormal. So, I mean, it drew me in at a very young age. So vampires, I had a fascination with as well as demons, angels and demons, more on the demon side. And, I mean, even younger than my daughter, I was fascinated by it. And not that it makes me weird or unusual.
No.
Maybe it does.
but
it's something
that
I've always enjoyed.
You fit right into my world because, you know me, I like all things dark. And the fascination
right.
with the Lost Boys was not only was it dark, but it had dark humor in it.
Yes, it did.
And it did. You had to really pay attention in order to get it.
Yeah, you absolutely did. You know, and, you know, the late Corey Haim was in it. You saw him
yeah.
in License to Drive, totally different role. And just a very young Kiefer Sutherland, you know. But, I mean, they kept, other than hanging upside down like that, I mean, they kept the premise of what vampires are true to the story of what they are.
Yeah.
And I loved it. You know, I loved it. But Bram Stoker's Dracula is what did it for me. And when the movie came out with Keanu Reeves and Gary Oldman, oh, my God, it was just moving to me. I mean, it was amazing.
And the thing with Bram Stoker's Dracula, if you read the book, if you can get through the book, it's because it's written in Old English, it's sad.
It really is. Dracula's story is very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people, I don't think, understand, is the sadness that's in it. You know, a lot of people find him sexy and alluring, and granted, I mean, he is, but at the same time, I mean, he's got a serious sadness about him that a lot of people overlook, you know?
And you can't have a relationship because you'll wind up killing him. And
right. Or you'll outgrow them, literally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they'll grow up and they'll die. But a lot of that we're bringing into the story Blood Fortune. you know, the main character, Dorian, is kind of like Dracula. He's lost his one true love centuries ago. He occasionally finds paintings of her and sketch art and hunts the world for these. And then when he lands in Venice, he finds her. And he's just on the hunt to claim her again. And she's like, dude, I don't know you. Right. So it's a very fascinating story. It's got a lot of darkness to it as well because of this, what it is. And there's quite a bit of evil in the story too, you know, coming from other vampires in the story and the vampire hunters that are there. So it's very intriguing what Kate and I have come up with. It's really intriguing, and we're very excited about it.
Well, let me know as soon as it's released, because this old white woman be going and getting her a copy of it.
Girl.
You just watch. And I won't be downloading it on my Kindle either. I'll be buying it in book form, because I keep all my vampire books. They have their own little shelf in my office, and I go by and grace them with my hand every once in a while, make sure that they're all nice and clean and the dust is off of them.
Right.
Did you see, because Dorian reminds me of a movie that came out a couple of years ago, and it was about the first vampire, Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, yes, Vlad the Impaler.
It was well done. Very well done.
The one with Luke Evans, right?
Yes, and even my husband liked it, and he doesn't like vampire movies, but even he said that it was extremely well done because it stayed true to the mortal part of a vampire.
Right, right. And I was happy to see them using Vlad the Impaler. You know, most people just use, you know, Dracula.
Yes.
They don't give him a backstory. Where with Vlad, I mean, the man hung some heads on sticks and
yes,
was all about the blood, you know?
He was indeed. So when will Blood Fortune come out?
excuse me. I'm trying to fight off this chest cold here. But we're releasing it in a box set. I believe the date is May 18th. And
ooh,
that's when it comes out in the box set. So it's called Haunted by Magic. It's up for pre-order right now. And that box set actually, within the first day of the pre-order setup, it hit international bestseller within the first day. So,
wow.
I mean, we were so ecstatic about that. And but I think it's either up for 3 months or 6 months. I think it's 3 months with the option to go another three. But whenever we decide to pull it out is when Kate and I will stand it up as a standalone on its own. So we've already got a cover made, which is absolutely stunning for it. Oh, my God, the cover we have is so beautiful. So we're very excited about it.
Does it make you want to lick your phone
again? Dude, you know it.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we call this Off the Chain. If you're easily shocked, offended, or embarrassed, well, get over it.
You're going to hang with me. You're going to have to leave embarrassment at the door.
There you go. There you go. You know you don't live as the crow flies. You don't live that far from me.
Right. You're going to be at the Book Obsessed event
I
in Jacksonville, right?
No, I'm
or
not going to
Space
Jacksonville.
Coast?
Maybe Seacoast. I'm slated to go. Depends on my husband. He's not doing well, so my publisher may go in my stead. I want to go. It's my desire to go, but I have to put him first. I really, really want to go, so
yeah,
we'll see what happens. I might can go up on Saturday instead of the whole weekend. But speaking of events, you're going to be at several yourself.
Yes, I have six lined up this year.
Tell the folks where you're going to be so they can write it down on their little calendars.
So April 7th, I'm going to do my best to remember the dates. But if you go to JulieMorganBooks.com and click on the events tab, all the dates are listed there. In April, I'm going to the Book Obsessed event in Jacksonville, April 7th and 8th. And June, we have the Space Coast event. I think it's the 4th and 5th, but it's on my website. July, I'm flying to Canada for CalypsoCon, If you're a fan of Calypso Masters, it's her con that she set up. So we're going to
wow.
Canada. I'm excited. My first time going to Canada. In August, I'll be over in Tampa at the Readers and Writers event set up. And then November, I'm going up to Columbia, South Carolina for Authors in Bay Columbia.
Wow. You one busy lady.
Yeah. I said, I'll limit myself to four, and I end up doing six. So.
Well, but that's okay, because the more you're out there, the more people know you, and this is what it's all about, especially us as indie authors. We have a hard enough time as it is, so grab them all, baby. Run with them like you stole them.
Yeah.
Now, for the listening audience that wasn't here when we did your first interview, explain to them your series that you have written, so that they'll
okay.
know if they go to read that one book that's coming out, not Insidious
Which
Love, or Play in Her Body.
When
they go
okay.
to read that they really, even though it's a standalone, they really need to go back and start with the first in the series to figure out who's
right.
on first.
Right. So again, if you go to my webpage, juliemorganbooks.com, all of my books that I have out, even the standalone called Dragon Master, they're all out there. And the first series that I published is called Chronicles of the Fallen, Angels and Demons, one of my favorite topics to ever talk about other than vampires. My second series is my Southern Roots series. So it's contemporary romance. It's got a cowboy. It's focused really around a rock band, a mega rock band. And then one of the stories takes place in Scotland, and there's a super hottie with a kilt. Oh, he's one of my readers' favorites. His name is Clive. He's one of my readers' favorites. And then I have my special ops series. So I went the route of military. I had one of the characters, Logan Saunders, who's in Delta Force. He started speaking to me a couple of years ago, and he was real quiet, didn't really say much. And then one day he just exploded. And I wrote his story in about a month, and then I set it aside for almost a year because I just wasn't ready for it. And then I went back and almost rewrote the whole thing, and I got a lot of feedback from my husband, who's in the military. He's in the Army. He's in military intelligence, and he actually went through the military part of it with me, helped me write some of that, stage it correctly, what they would really do, the weapons that they carry, and the Delta Force range of it. So he had a huge hand in that. In Sniper, the sequel to it, in Sniper, it's a similar type of situation. So, you know, the guys are at the barracks, they're working out, they're having a good time, and then suddenly their chief comes in and announces that they're getting deployed because something has happened. So it's just like a split-second decision. You're home, oop, got to go. You know, it's pretty quick. Ranger and SEAL will be coming out soon. My Deadly Alchemy series, or I've renamed it the Alchemy series, it's a paranormal romance. More in the lines of gothic fiction, because it's Victorian era with mechanical gears, which makes it steampunk. It's a different type of environment. If you've never read steampunk, it's not hard to understand because it explains the gears and the contraptions and what's happening in the story. And it's kind of more in a fantasy base. Like in Fatal Alchemy, there's an airship. So imagine a pirate ship, but that can fly in the air. I mean, it's amazing. It's so much fun. And then Dragon Master, it's a science fiction fantasy story that I wrote with another author, Marion Morea. We wrote that together last year. What else is there?
There's Eternal Darkness, Insidious Love. Are those yours?
No, those are Eternal Darkness is mine, but not Insidious Love. I had talked about naming a book Insidious Love, but I scratched it. So in the Haunted by, I misspoke on something I just realized. The Haunted by Magic book set that I talked about earlier is going to have Deadly Alchemy in it, not the Gypsy story. I'm sorry. That was my mistake. But we'll have the Deadly Alchemy story the first week it releases. And then after the first week, we're swapping it out with Eternal Darkness. So it's a prequel short story that I wrote that takes place before Deadly Alchemy. The Gypsy story, the Blood Fortune story is coming out in a Gypsy box set that will be June or July timeframe. I don't recall the exact date when we're releasing that, but that's I think it's in June, but that's when that book is coming out. It's Gypsies After Dark, I believe is what it's called. And there's not a real big calling for gypsy stories out there, kind of similar to the female-female story. It's not a very big calling or a big genre, so we decided, hey, let's do this. So you're going to get, I think there's 20 authors altogether, 20 brand new stories in this box set.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I got to start getting some books here because, of course, I don't know when I'll get them all read. I need to live to be 130 with great eyesight so I can continue to read.
Right.
Do you you think about it. I've got books I hadn't even cracked open yet. I have Anne Rice's latest book, and usually she's first on my list to read, and I hadn't even got around to reading this one yet. So.
Oh, gosh. You would laugh if you saw my to-be-read list.
Yeah, you would. And I have just as many on my Kindle, so thank goodness for Kindle. Do you have any plans of putting any of your books in audio?
I actually have one audiobook. It's Deadly Alchemy. I did produce one. And when I'm able to afford to do another, I'll definitely do that. They're pricey to produce.
Yes, they are.
Yes. So Deadly Alchemy is actually on audio. So if readers enjoy audiobooks, definitely go check that out.
My narrator
is amazing. She's a British woman, and she did the story in a British accent, which actually really, really does well for the story, considering that it's Victorian era. So it did really well for the story.
Well done.
Would you believe
that we are running out of time?
I would, because we talk a lot.
But that's what the show's about. We're supposed to talk a lot. So tell the folks where you can be found, my beautiful friend.
At www.juliemorganbooks.com. They can also go to Amazon and type in my name, Julie Morgan, and I'll be found. And if you go to Facebook, I'm also there, Julie Morgan. And my author page on my author page on Facebook is if you do facebook.com/Julie Morgan Book, singular, not plural. So you'll find me there with that. I'm also on Twitter and I'm also on Instagram. So I'm pretty much everywhere.
And
I have a newsletter, so that comes out a lot.
and you're gonna be even further, because you're gonna be up on 5 different podcasts after this show, because you're gonna be up on Podomatic, PodcastGarden.com, Podcast.com, Spreaker, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, FM.com, and TuneIn Radio.
That's awesome.
And that's the ones I know about. Every day I'm finding new places where this show has been put up that I didn't put it up.
Congratulations, by the way, for getting into the Congo. Oh, my
gosh. The Congo, of all places.
That's huge. I didn't
even know they had electricity, much less internet.
I know, because I think, you know, not in the sense of like the band Village People, but that's what I think is Village People, you know? And I'm sure we're stereotyping saying that. I'm sure they've got something there, maybe some development there. I have no idea. I've never been. All I know about Congo is what I've seen on TV and in movies, which, you know, we believe everything we see in movies.
That's true. But it's amazing the reach that we have and the reach that y'all are getting for your success. It just, every morning that's the first thing I do when I get on my computer and start working, is I go to look at the numbers, and then I go to look at where we're being heard, because to me that is the important, even more so than the numbers, the different places that this show is being heard and the people we are reaching, so y'all can be so successful and get out there and get new readerships and get new fan bases. It makes me as excited as that baby dancing.
Yes.
It's amazing. This show, Julie, took on its own life form.
I think it's great what you do. You know, I think it's great.
I can't explain what happened. It just did it. It just took off and won't slow down. It won't stop.
That's a good
thing.
Well,
that is a good thing. And that being said, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know that I'm always talking about dreamers because I believe in dreamers. People are coming to me now asking to be on the show. I have a site called AdvertiseCast.com, and people can go on there, and if they want something advertised on the show, they pay a nominal fee and get advertising. And a gentleman has already done that, and he was my first one, so he got the whole month of February. I did a shout-out for him. Well, I got an email the other day from an author. This is how she found me, was through AdvertiseCast.com. I can't talk anymore. And asked if she could be on the show. And I said, absolutely. So people are asking to be on this show. They want to be on this. And not only do they want to be on this show once, but they can't wait to come back. And, yes, Julie is a regular. She'll be coming back because she's got some stuff coming out. It's amazing. And this was a dream. This was a five-year dream, ladies and gentlemen. It was something that I knew I was going to have to do because I wouldn't be able to go on events because my husband is disabled. So I had to find another way to get known. And I waited 5 years to do it. And it was the time to do it. And I'm not bragging. The point of this is, like Julie, Julie's a dreamer. She wanted to write. She wanted to be published because she just loves demons and angels and Dracula, and she wanted to share that love with other people. So we make things happen.
Yes.
Am I right, Julie?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And
I have a story
to
tell. I have a lot of stories to tell.
Right, and just like the baby. And I call her the baby. She's 9 years old, but to me she's a baby. All children are babies.
Oh, she's still my baby.
There you go.
She's always going to be
but
my baby.
she's got dreams, and she's going to make those dreams real, ladies and gentlemen. And if she, as a unique individual, can make her dreams real, then by crackies, what are you people waiting on? Are you waiting on your deathbed and somebody says, do you have any regrets? And you go, oops. Can I get up and start over? Well, no, it's too late. The world is made up of dreamers, and dreamers make things happen. And the design collection that I do, Julie, I didn't ask for that. That was not on my radar. It fell in my lap.
Wow.
And I said, okay, why not? Let's see what we can do. Worst thing I do is take the designs down, go away, and pretend like it never happened. But I would have failed had I not at least tried.
One of the dedications that I had in a book, I didn't dedicate it to anybody in particular. I put in there, to those who ask why, I say why not.
Exactly. Beautiful words. Why not?
Why not?
And there's never a dream that is too stupid, too simple, too complicated that you cannot accomplish. If your child wants to be a sanitation collector, let them do it. Because number one, we need sanitation collectors, and number two, it's a profitable business. And number three, they might design a better way to get rid of garbage. So, ladies and gentlemen,
like Temple Grandin did with cows.
Exactly. Make your dreams real, ladies and gentlemen. Dare to dream, and then dare to achieve it. I have a girlfriend that says, if you believe it and you live it, you dream it, you believe it, you live it, and then you achieve it. So dare to do all of those things, because we only go around once, and even if we do come back in another body, the dream's not the same. It's a different dream.
Right.
So understand, if someone steals your dream, and Julie can tell you, it happens all the time. People say, you can't do this, you're not good enough, or you'll never make it happen. When people try to take you down, you can do one of two things. You can continue to let that negativity eat away at your dream and make you feel empty inside, or you can cut that negativity out of your life, and you can say, if you don't believe me,
Why not?
We can do this. We absolutely can do this. Because who knows, your dream may be the beginning of something beautiful for someone else. Julie didn't know that
absolutely.
When she came,
yeah.
Yeah, she didn't know when she came on tonight's show that, that she's going to be heard in the Democratic Republic of the Congo tomorrow.
Oh, that is just fascinating. Oh, my gosh. I can't even. I can't. Hi.
There you go. And Australia is our biggest listener. 72% of our listeners.
I have readers in Australia.
Yeah.
I have readers in Australia, and they are rock star readers, man. They are amazing. I love my readers over there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to be cutting us off here shortly. Our show is going to end. So understand, we will be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with Dr. Sita. And now we are off the air, so I will put everything up. And, of course, y'all will be gone, so you won't be able to pass it on until you come back, but at least it'll be on your feed and folks can see
sure.
it. Have fun. Kiss the baby
Thank
for
you.
Me. Oh, and tell your husband again. He'll probably get sick of hearing it from me, but I don't care. Tell him to suck it up, Buttercup. Thank him for his service.
I will. I will definitely will.
And thank you for your sacrifice, because it's not easy being a military wife and being
it's
a mother.
Some people complain, oh, my husband's going to be gone for a week for travel. Won't you try a year to a year and a half?
Exactly. And you know what? If you need to vent, you let me know. I'll say, here's my phone number. Give me a call, and we'll just chat. And if you want to have a getaway weekend, bring the baby and come visit. Because you're just across the state, about 2.5 hours away.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. That'd be a lot of fun. I'm sure she would just run through your house like new stuff.
Yeah. Stuff. We have a pool. We're not that far from the beach. There's all kinds of things.
Oh, gosh. She would just, if I told her you had a pool, she'd be like, I'm going. Let's go. Mommy, get in the car.
Yeah, we're going now. We're headed there. Just let's go. Move it. Yep. So,
yep.
Add me to your support group, my friend.
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
my
darling.
I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. Now, go kiss the baby for me. Kiss your husband for me. And enjoy your trip.
Take care
rest,
of yourself,
relax. Okay? You too, because I want
Thank
you to
you.
Come back rested and ready to write some more.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
All right, darling. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you, Yvonne.
You're welcome. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Don't miss Scott's Days at Ace. It's our biggest lawn and garden sale of the spring. So before you get to work on your yard, head into Ace now to save on Scott's Miracle-Gro, Roundup, Ortho, and more. Now through Monday only, stock up and save over $600 on select Scott's products across the store. And as always, the help is free. Spring is here, and that means so are Scott's Days. Only at your local Ace. Offers valid through March 20th at participating stores. Includes instant savings offers for Ace Rewards members. See store for details.